Up to the last pasuk in Perek Beis, Vatidbak. Perek Beis, pasuk Chaf Gimel. Perek Beis, pasuk Chaf Gimel. The last pasuk, Vatidbak. Vatidbak, Benaros Boaz Lilakait. A Rus, she cleaved to the Narois, the young girls. We discussed this yesterday at great length. The boys, the girls, the different contradictions in the Pesukim, what he told her, what she said, back and forth. But right now it says here, when everything was said and done, she cleaved in Narois, among the girls. She did not cleave to the boys, the boyas lilake to collect, at kales kitziah sarim kitziah chitim, until the end of the barley season, the harvest of the barley, the harvest of the wheat. Vateshev, and then she dwelt es chamoisa together with her mother-in-law. Now notice that this pasuk says for the first time makes mention of kitzir hachitin. In the beginning, it says when they arrived in the beginning in Perek Beis, when they arrived in the field, it says that it was the kitzir hasa'irim, the barley season. To go back to the very beginning of Perek Beis, una'ami modai. Let's go a little further. It was okay. Maybe it was Perek Aleph then. I thought it was Perek Beis. Maybe it was Perek Aleph. Lumi Hanar Azos. So I guess it was Perek Aleph. Perek Aleph. The very beginning then, when this whole story began, when they arrived in Eretz Yisrael, it says it was the Tchil of the Ketzir, the harvest of the barley. Let's go back.
The last pasuk from Perek Aleph.
Oh, last pasuk. That's why I thought it was Perek Beis. Okay. The last pasuk in... So the beginning of the Ketzir Soirim. And now look at this, the end of Perek Gimel, the only four parakim in Sefer Rus. Each parak represents an entirely different concept. But the end of Perek Beis, the end of Perek Gimel, it's... At Kilois, the end of Kitzir Hasarim, Kitzir Hachitim, the end of the barley, end of the wheat. And then, you know, just to take a step back, it's Yom Yomo. On Pesach, we bring a mincha, and on Shavuos, we bring a mincha. But there's a fundamental difference between the two. On Pesach, the mincha is from barley, and on Shavuos, the mincha is from wheat. So why is that so? Why is the Omer that is offered on the second day Pesach from barley, and why is the Mincha Chadosha L'Hashem B'Shavuos Sechem L'Shtei Alechem from wheat? Why don't we bring them from really consistent? So the Medrash says, barley is animal food. Wheat is food for men. Barley was primarily used in ancient times for animals. And wheat is used for human beings.
That's why
Mincha, so she did a mice, the Medrash says, she did an animal like an animal. She acted on impulse. She did not discipline herself, did not train herself to hold back. Acted like an animal, that's why she brings the mincha, the soter brings the mincha barley. But what's the contrast? We know that Pesach and Shavuos are connected. We connect them to the Sfirah So'imer. So why is it barley on Pesach and wheat on Shavuos? The answer is maturity. When Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, we were young, we were immature. We did not have any experience. We were slaves in Egypt. Klal Yisrael did not yet develop spiritual maturity. Therefore, our carbon, relative to what would be, is barley. We were still like animals, kaviyachal. But as we mature through the 50 days of Sfiras Amar to Shavuos, we have matured through Kabbalah Satara, we've achieved the degree of sophistication of human beings, and therefore we bring barley. Same idea is expressed here. We now have reached the maturity of Sefer Rus. In the beginning of Sefer Rus, what's going on? It was not... Where did she start out from? She started out Rus. They did a terrible Aveira. Elimelech, Rus. Machlin, V'chilion, they abandoned their brethren. It was hard times. And instead of staying with Klal Yisrael, they ran away. They ran away to Moab, from all the place, to go to the place that's the least hospitable. We mentioned, here at a time when Klal Yisrael needed someone to encourage them with lechem and mayim, they went and they abandoned, they did not provide lechem and mayim. They went to the nation that the Dafka does not provide lechem and mayim. And so there was an act of an animal behavior, to fend for yourself, selfishness. And now when they returned, they came back. They did tshuva, but when they came back in the beginning of Perek Aleph, and the Perek Aleph was still in its infancy. It was still not yet, they did not yet develop. Then as you go through the entire Perek Beis, and she does tshuva, she meets Boaz, and she develops. Now we're holding at the end of the Ketzir HaSoirim, Ukitzir Hachitin. There has been lessons that have been learned. Rus has advanced. Okay, it's symbolic. This is a homiletic insight into the end of Perek Aleph, Perek Beis. She has matured, just like we mature from the mincha of barley to the mincha of the shtei alechem of wheat. Rus has matured from barley to wheat, and that's why here it's the Ketzir Hachitim, the end of the wheat season, and now she's ready to do what happens down Paragimel. Paragimel is the birth, is the shidduch, is the meat. The meat of Sefer Rus, where she reveals, where Boaz actually marries her. And actually marries her, but the whole climax of Sefer Rus unfolds in Paragimel. Okay, that's one idea. Another idea, the reason why we mentioned over here the barley and the wheat is because the wheat season, it extended for 3 months. And therefore, Giyores, we need to know that it was at the end of the wheat season, the end of the barley and wheat, because from the beginning of the barley season to the end of the wheat season is 3 months in Chazal's understanding. And a Giyores may not marry for 3 months from the time she converts because of Havchana. Just in case she had relations with a non-Jew or anyone for that matter before she converted, and she may become pregnant, and then if she'll get married immediately, she'll be pregnant and she'll have a child after 7 months. We're not going to know if the child is 7 months to the second husband or 9 months to the first husband. Therefore, there's Havchana. A woman may not marry, so we have to know this piece of information in order to tell us that now she's ready to get married in the beginning of Paragimel. Immediately, she is permitted to marry Boaz.
I have a point. I don't know if I'm right or wrong. It goes follows this, that she came from a nation that was behemoth.
Okay. Okay.
And she matured.
And now she's called. Yeah, that's
Paul. That's God. Shulchan Aruch. They eat the wheat.
Right. Right.
In all the prakim prior, it doesn't say chamasah. It says kalasah.
Uh-huh.
And over here, suddenly,
very interesting.
As soon as Boaz decides, the first time Hamasa shows up, if I'm not mistaken, is when Boaz says,
I heard what you did to your mother-in-law.
Hamasa, what I did.
Okay.
And then as soon as she comes back to, Bataymala Hamasa, Eifa Lakata. First question, where'd you get it?
Okay.
So, you know, Boaz already saw it, decided this is my mother-in-law. And she comes home, and the first thing the mother-in-law says, "No, what did you bring me today?" And then she goes back to the field and ready.
Okay, I hear. It's an interesting point. You're mentioning it with Chamoisa. It's mentioned she returns to Chamoisa. Okay, let's see Rash. Let's see. There is no Rash in this part. Let's see the Targum. Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Rich, and then he having forsaken. Poor people. But first of all, we don't see anywhere that he took anything with them in terms of akalos or anything, but also in the main way people were rich, where they were landowners. Clearly, when they came back, they had no land because
I hear the question. They didn't have electronic money in those days. I hear the question. Where do they hire Swiss? There are no Swiss bank accounts. Right, so but Chazal still seemed to say that he did. He did take with him wealth. Well, he had land also. Land he had, but he also had assets. Maybe he had pearls, he had diamonds, precious stones. He owned real estate in other parts of the world. The Chazal clearly say that he had money. He had liquid assets. He was able to take with him, and he did not want to give it away to all the poor people. So he took it with him to Moav, and he lost it. And there in Moav, he became a poor man. He made some poor investments, and he went broke. So he did. Now what?
He sold his land before he left.
No, it seems like he still had land in Eretz Yisrael. That's what Rus is going. They're going to sell the land out to the Goyel. They're going to sell the land. So I don't know, but it seems that even in ancient times, people diversified. They had a portfolio, diversified portfolio. And he did indeed take with him wealth, and he lost it when he was in Moab as a punishment for abandoning his people. Let's take a look at the Targum Pasuk Chav Gimel. Chav Gimel Ve'ida Bokas. She cleaved. Here is that word. That word is used so many times in this Sefer. Instead of the word of cleaving, which we all know represents the concept of marriage, Al Kein Yazav Ish Es Ol Lesimu V'Tidbak Be'Ishtoi, and it's also used for Klal Yisrael V'Atem Hadveikim V'Hashem Elokeichem Chaim Kulchem Hayom. Okay, v'idbak be'ulem soy. So we're going back over here to the word we mentioned yesterday. It does not say here the word riva. We discussed this yesterday, the Targum, two different words. And here the word is ulem so, the young maidens, the boas, lemitzbar, to collect, to harvest ad deshet. See the conclusion of Chatzad Se'oirin, Samach is equivalent to the sin, the harvest of barley, the Chatzad and the harvest Chitin of wheat, the Sevas, and she dwelt, the Sevas Vateshav Imcha Mosa, together with her mother-in-law. Okay, let's go to the next parak. Perak Gimel. Vatemelo Nami Cham Oisa. Nami Cham, her mother-in-law said to Rus, B.T., okay, we have here an obvious contradiction. A mother-in-law and BT are not the same. It should say Kalosi, my daughter-in-law. And if you want to say that it's a mother, she would say Imo, her mother. So these two words are contradictory. Chamoisa, the mother-in-law said, "Biti, my daughter." So it's a word of endearment. I consider you to me my daughter. Let's finish the pasuk first. Hello, is it not so? Avakesh loch manoach, I want to seek for you menucha, asher yitav loch, that is good for you. Okay, so the first interpretation is, the reason we're telling you a chiddush is that a mother-in-law, Chazal tell us, has a hate for a daughter-in-law. That's a mitzias. And we learned that, that's Gemara Masechta Yevamos, that a mother-in-law is not believed to say that her own son died to allow her daughter-in-law to remarry. We suspect that the son did not really die, and the mother-in-law is lying, because the mother-in-law wants her daughter-in-law to remarry illegally, shalai kedin, shalai kehalacha, and then her son-in-law will return home, and then her daughter-in-law will be koreach mikan v'koreach mikan. She'll have to divorce her. She'll divorce her son, and she'll not be permitted to marry, to remain married to the new husband. So it's the way of revenge or an incredible hatred.
It's the same topic. I mean, exactly the same philosophy that she's not believed. Various people are not
believed.
Say
Adus that don't deserve that because there's a certain hatred. So
co-wife, mother-in-law.
So we have over here a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law. Why? The Gemara says because the mother-in-law is upset that this woman, the mother-in-law knows she's not going to live forever, and who's going to inherit all of her hard labor? Her son, her daughter-in-law. She does not, when she thinks, what does she deserve? What did she do to deserve all of my labor, my effort? And therefore there is a natural hatred between mother-in-law and daughter-in-law. And therefore it would be natural that after a daughter-in-law is an almana, so the mother-in-law would say, good, you should remain an almana for the rest of your life. And if you do want to remarry, I hope you marry someone that's no good, so you'll remember the good old days when you had my son, and you should have, sometimes getting married is worse than remaining single. Okay, if you marry the wrong person, Rahman al-Itzlan, it can be torture. And especially for an almana that remarries, she also is always comparing the second husband to the first husband. So here the pasuk is trying to tell us that was not the relationship over here. Even though it was a chamoisa, even though it was her mother-in-law, she cared for Rus like her own daughter. There was absolutely no hatred, no bad feeling. She wanted the best. Not only did she want her to remarry, should not be alone, should have tzafsa, companionship, she also wanted to have a good husband, a husband with whom she would have satisfaction. Haloi avakesh loch manoach. But the pasuk does not stop there. Yeah, I want you to get married, but I don't have enough love that your second husband should be as good as your first husband. Now, sometimes a mother-in-law, okay, you can get married, I'm asking. You could have support, security. But you should always remember, my son was the best. Right? You always remember where you come from. No, Asher yitavlach, I want it to be in your best interest. And that is a tremendous maila, a midah of a woman, Nami, to be able to what's the word? Fargin.
Yeah.
Fargin. There's no good translation for that, is there?
In Yiddish is the right word.
There's no English.
Not to begrudge.
But that sounds in Yiddish as a much better, there's much more richness in Yiddish. Not to begrudge. Fargin with a pay. Fargin? Fargin?
Yes.
Fagin. To Fagin, she was willing to Fagin her daughter-in-law a zivug that is satisfactory.
I just wondered if the word kamos over here is to be used in some way to say that when you're in Yaris, you have no official relationship anymore. The old relationships are gone. And maybe that's a sign that she converted before, but it was based on what would happen later.
The future.
And now you
see,
Freya, the
retroactively, it was triggered. An interesting idea.
That's why they called her mother-in-law.
Because Lema Freya, daughter-in-law. So going back, Lema Freya was for real. Now that it was, okay.
Not for the north.
Very good, very good. Because a lot of these types of geris all depend on what's going to be the outcome. Every geris.
In reality, they had those just two women. Right. No relations at all.
So is this, if you convert with your mother-in-law, she stays your mother-in-law?
Yeah, you can never lose a mother.
Okay, now there's another important point. There is a medrash. The medrash says halo means she made a shavua. Okay, she made a, let me see if I have the medrash over here. Halo avakesh loch manoach. She made a shavua. Maybe it's referring to somewhere else. We'll probably come across it maybe a little bit later. I don't remember exactly where it is. I could be making a mistake. Oh no, it is over here. She made a shavua. Haloyel mokem bechal kol holech. So where is this? Where is the shavua? It's not in this targum. Wait, did I read the targum? Batum lo mechamos haloyel vakash lo manoach. Wait, did I? I didn't read the pasuk. I'm sorry, I didn't read the targum yet. Let's read the targum. I apologize. What did I do over here? Okay, let's read it one more time. What? Yeah, I'm sorry. I thought I read the targum. I didn't read the targum. Let's review. Okay, let's read the pasuk one more time. Okay, so the first idea is the two words, the contradiction. These two words do not go together, so we've answered that this is trying to bring out the midos toivos, the good, high, the character of Naomi. She treated her daughter-in-law like a daughter, not like a daughter-in-law. And all of that which it includes. Okay, now let's see the Targum. The Targum says, "Va'amaras lan Naomi chamoisa." Her mother-in-law Naomi said to her, "Birati, my daughter." Now here's the key word I was referring to: bishvuah. She made an oath. Excellent. That's the question. Where does the Targum Yonasim and Uziel? We're assuming this Yonasim and Uziel. Where does he embellish? Get the source for all of these embellishments. So sometimes, and we had many times this. So I'll show you the answer in a moment. So sometimes there is no answer. Sometimes you can go search. You really can't find. You have to say it's tradition. He's coming to tell us a tradition. Halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. Even though it's happening much after Sinai, but there's a tradition, this is what happened over here. And sometimes there is a nuance, a very small nuance in the pasuk, which opens up the source where the Targum got. I'll get that one more, but let's finish what it says. Lo oniach, I make an oath. I will not rest. I'm not gonna live my life, the remainder of my life, until I see to it that you are happily married. Lo oniach, I'm not going to rest. Ad the esba, lich, until I seek for you niyocha, peace, meaning you should have menucha. Begin, what kind of menucha? A menucha, begin diyitavlach, begin. What's begin mean? I'm not sure what the word begin means. begin the yitav loch a type of menucha that is in your asher yitav loch. Begin is the translation for asher, that is good for you. Now, where is the shvua? So the answer given in the Sefer Igeres Shmuel, the very popular Sefer on Sefer Ruah, says it comes from the word halo. Halo is the same letters backwards as Allah. Look at that, right? Allah. Allah is an oath, is a shvua. It's the same exact letters. Halo, read it backwards. Aleph, Lamed, Hey, Allah. I'm going, because the word halo seemingly is superfluous. What would have been so bad if the Pasuk would have said, you would not have known the difference. Why does it say the word halo? It's an expression. It's a nice expression. Is it not so? Is it not so that I'm going to seek out? But also means, Allah, I'm going to take a shavua. Okay, now, another interesting thing is, I'm going to sing Loch Manoach. We discussed yesterday at great length that the entire process here is a symbolic form of Yibum. And the purpose is to produce a child that will carry the name of the dead husband. The two words together, Loch Manoach Avakesh, comma, Loch Manoach, are the letters Ki Machloin. I want to seek out a man for you just like your first husband. Well, let's take Loch Manoach. The same letters. Ke, take the chaf of the loch. Ke, ma, ke, ke mach, lon. Okay, kimachlon. Those two words together mean I want you to get a husband. Your new husband should be just as good as your first husband, or for that matter, I want there to be yibum. And through yibum, you're going to bring back in your child, machloin, your husband. And that's how far she went to seek out her good and welfare. Okay, that's another idea. Now the third idea. Now this idea is not a serious idea. It's a milsa bidichusa. It's a humorous idea, but every joke does have some truth to it, some partial truth. Chazal tell us that Boaz, I don't remember, I think he had 30 children. He had 30 children before this event. Goes a very old man. I think Chazal says he was like 100 years old. I don't know the exact number.
He had 60 children.
60 children? 30 daughters. It could be correct. But they all died. Every single one of his children died. And at this point in time in his life, he was 100 years old, or something like that. 80 years old, and he was about to die. He died right after this event. After he married Rus, he died. And he was seemingly about to die, Ariri, without any children. Why did his 30 sons and 30 daughters die? So the Gemara says something shocking. He never invited Manoach. Manoach was the father of Shimshon. Of Shimshon. There was a person living, this was during the time of the Shoftim, and Ivtson, who was Boaz, was a friend. They davened in the same shul. He was a holy man, and the people, anyone that's recorded in Tanakh was not an Adam Pashat. Okay, even though it says that Manoach was he was Holach Achara Ishtai, he walked after his wife, which Chazal said, oh, he was from the Shvach Revention. The Choystarga. The wife wore the pants. What?
Shimshon married out of the.
Yeah, that's bizarre also.
Because he didn't invite him, he got married.
Okay, the whole thing, everything is bizarre. We don't understand. But whatever it was, they davened in the same shul. They played golf together. They were on the same bowling league. You know, they did everything together. Ivtson and Boaz. And when Boaz made a simcha, he said, why should I bother inviting Manoach? Manoach, at that point in time, had no children. Manoach, we called him a mule. Chazal, very strong words. Why? And a mule can't have children. Why should I invite this mule? He's not going to be reciprocated in my wedding. I'm going to make a simcha. Normally you reciprocate each other's simchos. I'll make a simcha, he'll come to me, and then I'll go to him. I don't have to reciprocate, because he anyway doesn't have any children. He's childless. So why should I go bother? It's very strange. Now, that's a very bizarre thing for Chazal to say about a very great tzaddik, Boaz, that he considered him to be a mule, and he did not want to invite him to his wedding because he was unable to to reciprocate, or there was no comparison between.
Maybe he was afraid of her eye and
horror. So you have to understand that it was all like, they had like Penina. Penina used to cause Tsar to Chana. Penina would say to Chana, Chana, you know, I'm going to the store to buy some clothing for my children. You want to come with me? Oh, I forgot, you don't have any children. Okay, too bad for you. I'm going to take my child for a haircut today. Yeah, maybe you want to take your kids for a haircut? We're going Chalamoy trip to the amusement park. You want to come? Oh, you don't have any children. Oh, too bad for you. That's what she did. How you talking with a person, the wife of Elkanah, would do such a thing? So Chazal says she did it 100% l'shem Shemayim, because she wanted her to feel bad, because she knew she was a tzadeh, because she had the koyach hatzvila. She'll daven a little bit harder, and she'll have a child. She did it 100% l'shem Shemayim. Yet Chazal say it's not for you to make those cheshbonos. Even though it's shuz l'shem Shemayim, you're still causing her to feel bad. No matter what your kavon is, that's not a mahal. It's not the crack. So you have to say the same thing when it comes to Boaz. Boaz had a friend, Manoach. Manoach had no children. Boaz felt it would better not to invite him to the chasna. I'm making now a chasna for my son, one of my 30 children. I'm going to invite him. He's going to come to the chasna. He's not going to feel good. He has 30 children. Look at the beautiful pictures, the beautiful simcha. He's all alone. He doesn't have any children. I don't want to make him feel bad. So I'm not going to invite him. So he didn't. So he wasn't invited. So how did he feel? It's a no-win situation, obviously. It's a no-win. So Manoach didn't go to the wedding. He stayed home, and he's talking to his wife. Oh, everyone to the, how come it's so quiet in the neighborhood? Everyone went to the chasna. We weren't invited. It's good that you weren't invited, because if you were invited, you would feel even worse watching someone else have success when you have nothing. But still in all, Chazal criticized Boaz. It was a mistake. It's not for you to make that cheshbon. You have to invite him. You have to make him feel good. You have to do the best that you can. If he feels bad, listen. So he feels bad. So it's not something that you can't fix the world. But you have to do what is correct. So therefore, as a punishment for making these mistakes, for making the bad decision, not inviting him, all of Boaz's children died. Every single one, all 30 sons, all 30 daughters, is a punishment for not having the proper sensitivity.
That's a harsh
punishment. It sure is. And it's not for us to have any understanding of. But this is what it says. I'm not making this up. It says this in the Gemara. It's hard for us to relate to these things 100%. When we're dealing with people that are the greatest of the great, Hashem judges them on a very different level. But we have to learn from, or at least on a teeny microscopic level, there are things to learn from this. So that's why he was punished. All of his 60 children died. So here, again, this is not a serious word I'm telling you, but I saw this word, I think, in three places. They all say the same thing. And they say, Rus said to Naomi, you want me to go marry Boaz? Why are you going to marry Boaz? I should have Manoach. I should have Nuchas. I have children with him. What's the use? Boaz is a cursed person. His 60 children died. If I will have a child with him, my child will also die. He's a curse. What are you getting me into? Ruth says to him, the only reason why he was cursed was because he did not invite Manoach to the wedding of his children. Don't worry, I'm in charge. Haloi avakesh loch Manoach. I'll make sure that Manoach comes to all the simchas. I'm already locking him in. I'm already inviting him to the bris and the bar mitzvah and the chasna. I'm already sending out invitations in advance to Manoach on behalf of Boaz for all the future simchas. So you don't have to worry.
The young Israel of Williamsburg, Mickey Meinberg, who was the rabbi.
Yes, yes. So I'm a big fan of his. Shemin Atoiv.
When he first became a rabbi, you know, who was the young Israel? And then there was Satma.
Okay.
So he goes to the street. He had a kid was born, and he goes and he meets the Satma Rebbe walking from davening.
Abioyel?
Yeah. And he goes over to him and says to him, I'm inviting you to be a sandik for my son. So the first thing Rabbi Yoyel said, of course. Later they told him to...
Young Israel.
No.
So did he go?
Of course he went. Rabbi Yoyel was very appreciative of a sharp joke. And he understood what happened.
The Chochmah, the Pinchas.
So he was a very good friend all along Satmar and Mickey Weinberg. He was like the...
He was a very successful Rav.
Before there was us.
Yeah.
He was the representative.
That was the place. That's where the action was those days. Yeah.
This is how it started, him by taking him in. I'll bring Manoah.
Is that shul still there?
They sold it, I think. They sold it to Spinko or Kupa, whatever it is.
He has very chashu svarim. His svarim, Rabbi Weinberger, it's called Shemin HaToiv. He put out 5 volumes on his drashas. Very chashu Torah. And then he had Haggadah. Last year he put out a Haggadah. Big, big Talmud Chacham.
Rabbi, yeah. You mentioned about Satmar Rebbe. Satmar Rebbe's personal account, not for the yeshiva, his personal finances, was Rafaivo Reese's brother, who was one of the big leaders in Mizrahi Apollo Mizrahi.
Different times.
Yes.
Different times. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Viata pasuk beis viata now. Okay, so we had here 3 ideas. 3 beautiful ideas. Chamoisa biti, a shvuah from the word haloi, aleph lamed hey backwards, or really 4 ideas. 2 different types of menucha, menucha with ashayitav loch, ayitav loch, and then we have the idea of I'm going to invite Manoach, I'm going to invite him to all the weddings in the future, so you have nothing to worry about. You're going to have zera shel kayama. Pasuk beis. V'atah now, haloi voyaz lo datonu. I got good news to tell you, Rus. Boaz is our relative. He's our relative. Asher Hoyis es Naroisav. This man that you were with his young girls, the Naroisav, obviously doesn't mean his children, it means his workers, the young girls who are his workers. Hinehu, behold, Zerah have a plan. So here is where Naomi begins to formulate the plan, the very, very bizarre, extremely bizarre, which after everything is said and done, there's really no way for us to understand what was going on over here. But she tells him to go to violate the laws of Yichud, to lie down next to him, to do something that is would appear to be not derech of tznius, in order to convince him to marry her. I guess that she felt that if you would go through, you would go through the normal channels, you would get nowhere. You know, it's like in shidduchim. Sometimes you read a boy a shidduch and he refuses to go out with the girl. So what do? You bring the girl to the boy. You know where the boy is going to be. And guess who happens to be there? You know the boy is going to be. The boy is going to be in this shul on Shabbos. And you put the girl in the right position. And right as the boy is coming out of shul, guess who's standing right there? The mother or the boy. And you introduce the boy to the girl. So maybe he'll like the girl. He'll want to go out with her. Or the other way around. Or sometimes, instead of bringing the boy, you bring the girl, you can bring the boy to the girl, right? All different ways. So that's what exactly what she's doing over here, something that is very, very, very aggressive, a very aggressive approach to creating a shech. Rus, all about shidduchim, isn't that what it's all about? Sefer Rus, it's all about shidduchim. About seres kuli alma moedim the inan lochem. It was a gezer of Shlomo, but we learned before in Rashi, we learned Asher Tolini Tolin, we had that in the very beginning, is that it was a minhag to be careful in Yichud, but it was not formally enacted until David and Shlomo. But already they already practiced it derech minhag, not derech halacha. Today Yichud is a halacha.
She didn't have minhag of a serve.
Well, she was joining Klal Yisrael, so you must
she
take.
She could have picked up whichever minhag she wanted.
All right, but we're assuming you have to take all the minhag. No, that you don't do. Pasuk beis v'ata. Okay, let's see v'ata. Haloi Boaz lo datanu. Boaz is our relative. Asher Yis es Narosav. You already are familiar with him. You know him well. Already for 3 months. You're already 3 months already have dealings with him. You are having hanging out with his young girls. Hinehu, guess what? I have good news for you. Tonight, I have inside information. I've been listening to his telephone calls. I have access to the NSA. They've given me access to his telephone, and I know Hineh.
fun because there were thieves.
Oh, so let's see Rashi. Hine.
They knew there were thieves around.
Hine is a word of unexpected. Hine, the unexpected is going to happen tonight. Inside information. Hine, behold. Hine, who? Behold, he is. They're going to winnow as Goren Hasim. He's going to be busy winnowing the grain, the barley, or the wheat also, as Goren in the threshing, in the silo, Hasim of the barley, Haloila. Now, one thing before we go further, it's very interesting that we just concluded the end of Perek Aleph. It was the Zman of the Kitsir Soirim and the Kitsir Chitin. And yet, what he's going to focus on tonight is the barley. Why not also focus on the wheat? What happened to the wheat? Why are we always going back to barley? You know, it's almost like an icon in Sefer Rus. If you go today, buy a Sefer Rus on the cover, you'll see barley. What about wheat? Wheat, there was also the Zoreh Chitim. Somehow, even though it was also, she had to wait 3 months of Chana, and also Shavuos, Nulash Telechem, it is none of the wheat. For some reason, I do not know, we're always going back to the barley. It's just going to be winnowing the barley, Haloila, in the evening. Now let's see the Rashi. There's a lot of Rashi here. Moda Tonu Kiroi Vein. He is our relative. Hinehu Zoreh. He is winnowing. Winnowing is you throw up, you take after the kernel and the chaff has been separated to the process of threshing, which is either done by animals who pull around heavy objects, threshing boards that separate the one from the other, or it's done by people who actually bang with sticks upon the wheat to separate the kernel from the chaff. You then throw it up into the wind, and the wind blows away the chaff, and the kernels fall down and remain. So he is going to be doing this today. Hinei uzoreh hamotz, the chaff, Haloila, Shahoya, so Rashi says these famous words that come from the Medrash, Shahoya Dar Parutz, Bigneva, the Gezel, Vaya Yoshem, Bigroino, Lishmar, Gironai. The generation was breached in two sins. Gneva is when you steal secretly, Gezel is when you steal openly. And therefore, he was sleeping in his threshing hole, Lishmar Gron, to guard his grain. It's very bizarre. An 80-year-old man who has nothing better to do than himself to do Shmira. He would hire some armed guards.
No, he was cheap.
What?
No,
he was cheap. It's very shocking. It really is very shocking why he was involved.
Yes, unless he didn't invite Manoah because he didn't want to pay another
meal.
He did not want. He did not want.
You're talking about 60 meals.
Or unless when you want to, you have to say there's a lot, something a lot. If you want to go with this approach that he was there, he means he was trying to teach the generation
not to steal.
Not just there's no one else to do it, so I'm cheap. I'm not going to go and pay minimum wage to get someone to go. He was teaching the generation you have to be nizer and gesel. Now I always remember when I was in the yeshiva, so we had a rebbe of Chaim Siegel, the Menahel, and he would proctor the regents. Now, you don't understand what that means. The English department was off limits. There was Limudei Kodesh, and high school boys are high school boys, whether you like it or not, whether you're a Haredi or you're whatever you are. It's a time, boys, they chill out a little bit. I wouldn't say Hefker. I don't know what goes on today. In my day, I thought it was pretty good. A lot of the boys went on. Some doctors, some lawyers. There was some serious. It was different, a little bit different in those days. But there were problems. Okay, and no one's making believe there weren't problems. But when it came to the regents. So Rabbi Siegel, the Menahel, he came in to practice the regents. He came in. They had different in the auditorium or classrooms. And when he came in, there was no, people were terrified, petrified and terrified, and there was no cheating. And, it wasn't just that there was no cheating. It was a certain, you remember, there are things in life, you have to be serious. There are things in life, it's set a tone in the Talmidim. Gezel Sheker is Osir. There's no excuses. Don't go start looking at your friend's paper and see what's going on. If you had proctors, the regular proctors, okay, so they'll catch you. They'll give you an F. And there were people that cheated and that were disciplined. There's no question about it. But Ein Doimer, it wasn't a matter of getting caught. You're not going to cheat when you have in front of you someone that you are afraid of and you have respect for. That's hard to describe. I don't think they don't make rebbeim that have this fear factor. He had this certain fear factor. When he walked into the room, everyone all of a sudden was afraid. I don't know if they have remained like that today. But it created a certain presence, a certain awe. Perhaps you can suggest that's why Boaz himself was the guard, was the shomer. He wasn't the shomer because he couldn't find some cheap labor to do the job to guard. He's trying to teach the generation this is wrong. It's not a mahalach to steal, to cheat, to lie. And when he himself served as the shomer, it created that impression. It was a teaching tool. That's perhaps what's why it was significant of him doing it. Other Mefarshim in the Medrash say that's not why he was there. They say the whole two other reasons. Number one, because at night he was a meteorologist, Boaz. He knew exactly when the wind blows just right. And when the wind, and from the right direction, only on the news today, south, north, southeast wind, this direction, that direction. Never try to pick up, take the grass, you throw the grass. I always try that. I always can't figure out which direction the wind is blowing, even when I throw the grass up. You have to know exactly the wind has to blow in the right direction, and the wind has to blow at the right speed. The night time was ideal. So therefore, he was winnowing at night. See, it's a much more literal translation of the pasuk, not like Rashi. Rashi is really going off. It's not literal. Hine zoire, he's winnowing. Esgarin hasairim, kama. When is he winnowing? By day. You winnow the work day is 9 to 5. If you have to spend some extra hours, so you go from 9 to 7. But that's it. The day is over at 7 o'clock. So what is Boaz doing there? Oh, haloila. He's staying overnight to be the shomer. The Medrash says, no, he did the winnowing at night, because at night was the ideal time, the environment conditions were ideal to the winnow, to throw the chaff into the chaff up, the wind to blow the chaff in the right direction. Yeah.
If he would do this every night, then she wouldn't have to say, I found out tonight he's there.
It was a one-time event. Hinehu. It was a one-time event. Right.
The one-time that
one-time event.
Okay. Okay. You know, so, I can't sleep tonight, I gotta go out for
Hinehu, she had inside information. How did she know it's a Pella? Ruach HaKodesh? Yes, some say. Ruach HaKodesh, she had Ruach HaKodesh, whatever it was. Today you would say he
could have done the same trick.
Today you would say she hacked into his email. She knew what was going on. But in those days, Ruach HaKodesh, she knew what was going on. In any event, he's gonna be there right now because the wind is ideal, the conditions of the wind blowing is ideal, and that's when he's going to be there to oversee the Malacha. A third interpretation is the winnowing was done a day. They finished it 7-8 o'clock, and he was the last one out because until all the workers got their stuff, he locked it up. The problem is he was the Gadol Hadar, and it's not Lefi Kavoidoi to travel at night alone. We're not familiar with the social norms, but You don't, the Talmud Chacham does not travel alone at night. So since the workday came, it was a late workday, and by the time everyone would go home, he would be the last one to lock up the shop. He would have been all alone. He did not want to walk home alone at night. Therefore, he planned on sleeping in his office overnight. So three Mahalchim, what it means here, Zoira, Ezgurin, Hasa'irim, Haloila. So there Rashi only quotes one of these two. He talks about the fact that the door was Paritz, Begnev, Okay, let's see the Targum. Pasik days. In the Targum, Uch'an. Uch'an means now. Uch'an is a translation for V'ato. Hello, is it not so? Boaz, the ish te moda lona. Boaz, that is known to us. He is familiar to us. Which we translate as a Rashi, really said a relative. I think how could be the Targum is a different translation. It doesn't mean a relative. It means he's someone that we know about. We are comfortable dealing with him. We are familiar with him. The Haves, he's going to be the Chakla. He's going to be in the field im Ulaim Soy with the young girls. The one that was in the past in the field, the you Rus were in the field together with his young girls. Hahu Mivadar Yas, he is winnowing. Mivadar means to winnow. Idar Asirin. The Idar means the Goyren. I guess that's what it means. It means the threshing floor of barley, soirin, berucha in the wind. So you see over here, he adds in one more word. He adds in the word berucha in the wind. It seems that the Targum is focusing on the interpretation of the Medrash divalelio at night. Okay, it seems that the Targum is focusing more that it was he was winnowing at night, because that's when the ideal conditions were present to
being comfortable with Yavin in what he calls the Akdamas, the Ishtamadusa. About God, the relationship with God, is very
good. You're comfortable with it. You can't the same word in the Unkelus. Okay, okay, so let's now go to the next passage. I'll make sure I don't forget anything over here.
Just want to say, Rashi says, in their vent. Vent means wind, like ventilation.
Ah, Zer Hamoitz bevent. Okay, very good.
Ventilate.
Okay, let's go to Pasuk Gimel. So he's giving her instructions. Number one is Virachatz. Okay, this is an important pasuk. This pasuk is from the more popular psukim. Virachatz. Here, Naomi gives Ruth three commands. Number one, I want you to wash. I want you to bathe. Okay, I want you to bathe. I want you to bathe. Number two, we're going to discuss, but the little translation of Virachatz means to bathe. Vosacht, I want you to smear your body with oil. Vesamt simloi sayecholaych, I want you to put. Sima. Now that's a very interesting expression. You want to go talk to people that are very into tznius. So they darshan. Vesam means the clothing should not fit too tightly. Because it fits too tightly, that's not the word for vesam. Vesam means just like a shmata. Like you take a talus, you just throw it on you. Don't wear tightly fitted garments. They should be like a revitzin. Vesamt simlo sayichla. Just throw some clothing upon you, loosely fitted clothing. V'yaradit hagoyrin. Go down to the threshing field. Al tivadilo ish. And you shall go secretly. It should not be known to a man. Ad kaloy soy lechol v'lishtois. Until he finishes. You shall go into hiding. You come into the threshing field, go into hiding. No one should know that you're there. No ish, no man, even including ish boyash, should know until he finishes eating and drinking. And then in the next pasuk, she proceeds to tell him what to do after he finishes eating and drinking. When he goes and he lies down to go to sleep, then you're going to go to the plain and uncover his feet. Okay, let's see first Rashi. Rashi says, "What does it mean, verachatz? I want you to wash mitinuf avodah zarah shelach. Cleanse yourself from the filth of avodah zarah." So this is a topic of discussion. Rashi never said anywhere in this sefer so far that she was Megayer. The Targum said multiple times that she already converted. But we have to also be aware that some learn that when the Targum says she converted, it means there were two stages to conversion. There is first becoming a Ger Toishav, and then there becomes a Ger Tzedek. There are two stages. A Moaviyah is not even a Ger Toishav. She first, when she married a Mach, and it could be that she was makabel to be a ger toishav. It's still a goy, it's still a shiksa, it's still forbidden. And then now, at a later point in time, it's not exactly clear when. Maybe you want to say it's at this point in time, she's being tevel in the mikvah, she's becoming the full-fledged ger tzedek. Or as Rabbi Mayevsky said, there are two stages to her gerus. There is the initial kabbalah of becoming a ger, and then there's a later point in time where it's confirmed that you were sincere, and now lima freya, at a later stage, when you go through a second mice of Geris, it's retroactive, because every time a Ger converts, especially today, Rav Moshe talks a lot about this, and many people, they convert. Why all of a sudden do we find so many people coming to convert? Because they have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. They have a boyfriend or girlfriend that are Jewish, and the mother-in-law said, the only way you're going to marry my son is if you convert. So, okay, I never really thought about converting. I never would have become Jewish, but I really like this person. I really want to marry them. I'll become Jewish. I'll become observant. That's a pretty big step. And they appear to be very sincere. And what are you going to tell them? No, you can't convert. Everything, they're sincere. They do everything that they're going to be told. But, you know, it's a problem, because the only reason why you're doing this is because you want to get married. And then the question is, let's look 10 years down the road later on. And if we talk a seat 10 years down the road later on, they remain 100% committed, and they're raising their children with the Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, then retroactively we are absolutely certain the Geris was sincere. But if the Shidduch falls apart, and they get divorced, and then the woman or man goes back to their old lifestyle, then there are grounds to say that the geris was insincere, because you see, it was only toli b'davar, and bottle the geris. So this is discussed, Rav Moshe, when do we say that the person, the geris is here? So you can say that as well, that there were two different stages. So here, when she's being toivel now, she's washing, she's now, I want you to make a second commitment. I want you to reaffirm, you already converted before, by one now an additional commitment which will prove retroactively that your first commitment was sincere. But Rashi's words are very powerful words, and these words are quoted all over, especially when Ruach Shavuos, they're darshanim, to be rachatzed, cleanse yourself. Tinuf is a very powerful word. Tinuf means filth. The filth of Avodah Zarah Shelach. You are filthy Avodah Zarah. You still have problems.
Rabbi Rothko said, we say Gershon is Gaia. We don't say Gershon is Gaia.
Yeah.
Someone who comes for Gerus has a mitzvah.
From Har Sinai.
From whatever. And so he's already when he's...
It's already a little bit already a ger. So it's already just finishing up the process. You're finishing up the process. Very good.
This is chassidish, you know, before you do something...
You go to mikvah. Okay, we'll discuss in a moment. Versad. Now, it doesn't say here mikvah. It just says to bathe. It doesn't say anything with mikvah. What? Into ancient times, they didn't do Tisha K'av. Bathing in ancient times was not done by pouring water on your body. It was sitting down and washing your body from a basin. So it doesn't even mean Tisha K'av. We go to shower. Some say that taking a shower, you have to take it for a certain amount of time, make a cheshbon how long it is. Tisha K'av. Okay, v'sacht elu mitzvos. Smear oil. This refers to be makabel the mitzvos. The sam simlo. So this is really a very beautiful Rashi. So it comes to Chazal, and what this means. There's a lot of discussion. Samt simlosaych begodim shel Shabbos. I want you to wear the big day Shabbos. Fascinating. That's how you're going to prepare for this event. Okay, now let's take a look at the Targum. Targum is a little bit different. Pasuk Gimel. Usechalili. First thing is, I want you usechalili b'mayo. I want you to bathe. We'll come to this in a few moments. Keep in mind this word. Usechalili means to bathe in water. Number two. Usechusi vusmonin. Smear yourself with spices, fragrant oil. It should smell good.
Perfume.
Useshavii, and you shall tachshitayich ala alach. Does not say anything about Big Day Shabbos. I want you to put on jewelry. Sam simlosach, he says tachshitayich, ornaments. Doesn't he talk about clothing? He translates the word simlosach to refer to ornaments. Us besechasin. And you shall go down, means to descend, l'idra to the field, that's the threshing field. And then we have a new statement, losis parsini l'guvra. It should not be known, meforsan, to a man, ad sheit so you say, until Boaz finishes, l'meichal u'mishtei to eat and drink. Okay, a few things. Number one, I have here in this sefer, I'm using this Saras bin Medina, so he has an incredible chiddush from what's called the sefer Geula Sager. That's the name of the sefer. I never heard of it. And he takes note and makes the following observation. He went through the entire Tanakh and he took note that every time the word rechitza is used in Tanakh and is translated by the Targum, it depends. If it refers to washing clothing, the Targum always used the word tzviya. Tzviya means to clean clothing. If it refers to washing a body, going into mikvah, you put your body in mikvah, washing your body, bathing your body. The word is sechia, samaches yud hey. The only time the word, the Targum uses this unusual word, ches, lamid, yud, lamid, usechalili, is only when you clean animal parts. When you wash, you bring a carbon, you cut up on the animal, and you pick out the schmutz. Right, before you put the fats on the mizbeach, there's schmutz, there's all the animal waste. It wasn't a very pleasant joy. You know, the Kohanim had a lot of not such a pleasant thing dealing with animals. There's plenty of waste. It's not like they do, you know, today before they shecht animals, they starve them. They starve the birds, they starve the animal because they don't want it. It's not healthy. The FDA does not want, after you shecht a bird, you shecht an animal, you should be dealing with the schmutz. the schmutz that's in their stomach, because that stuff, when it begins to be processed by the enzymes in the stomach, it's very unhealthy and it can cause disease. So they starve the animals for a significant amount of time before they kill them, before they shech them. And that is problematic when it comes to birds. I took a tour of Empire. They told us that by law, they're not allowed to feed the birds for 24 hours before shechita. So can you imagine, it's hard enough for us to fast for 24 hours. Can you imagine a little bird to starve a little chicken for 24 hours before its death? It's torture.
You don't give it a drink.
They don't give it anything, right? So they told us, what's so terrible? Why? Because by law, the mitzvah is, if they have eaten and they got schmutz in their stomach, it's very unhealthy. It can cause a lot of problems in the processing of disease and illness, so we don't want it. So what's the problem in halacha? When you don't feed a bird for 24 hours, it gets desperate. It'll eat anything in the hours before slaughter. They'll eat off the feathers off each other. And you look in the crates, you'll see one bird is trying to eat up the other bird. It's eating, plucking feathers off the back of his neighbor. And if they find a pebble, this is like a donut. If you find the pebble, like a Danish, you can find a little pebble lying around somewhere, he'll eat the pebble. So what's so terrible? When the pebbles go down the stomach, it makes holes in the stomach. And then the bird becomes treif. Or they pull a feather. The feathers are very sharp. It goes down the stomach, the esophagus. It goes down the food pipe. It pierces, makes holes. And a lot of the treifas that they find, the vast majority of treifas that they find when they do the big, the mashkich there, it goes down. The vast majority of the treifas they find are all treifas that have developed out of starvation, out of desperation during the last period of time before they did a ma'aseh shechita.
So there's no inyan of tsar bale chayim.
There is, obviously, but you have no choice. It's either the animal's tsar or it's going to be our tsar, human tsar. And you're not going to let the animal suffer. Then what's the consequence? People are going to get sick. They're going to get sick, and then it's going to be a lot bigger tsar when a person gets sick, for the person, the family, and for society. This is a mitzias. This is the way it is. Check it out. Google it. But the time of the Beis Hamikdash, it appears they did not so machbit to torture the animals, so that's the consequence. Consequence is you have a lot of cleaning to do. And the term that the Targum used to clean the innards, the schmutz, is the sachalili. So here, the Sefer over here, he has a shocking thing. What in the world is the Targum telling you? Targum over here, you have Rus, a tzadekis. Beautiful person, and now she's about to get married, about to enter into an arrangement that shall lead to marriage. Go wash yourself, tell a kala, before you go get married, we're going to hose you down like a horse. Right? We're going to hose you down, they're going to clean the filth, and we're looking at you as an animal. You're nothing more than an animal, and you're filthy, we're going to hose you down. That's how you talk? That's what you say? There's a process. You go to the spa. You go and you get ready. What's going on with it? They actually have mikvos. They want in the areas to show. They make mikvos like spas in order to bring in people that are not religious. You tell the person that's not religious to come to the mikvah, taras hamishpacha. No. Not for me. It's so you tell them, no, it's we have a spa. And then once they're in the spa, there's also a mikvah. Is it a technique? There's an art, and the Haredim also like this very much. They're also into this. So that's how you talk over here. The Targum always says you go to the mikvah like an animal. Like an animal, you're hosing you down? Shocking statement. It's an incredible observation that it is making over here. Why the Targum used this very bizarre word to treat a human being like animal waste. So the answer is that now it fits very well. Now you have an appreciation where Rashi is coming from. Rashi is all intertwined with the Targum. Rashi is picking and choosing Targumim. And Rashi says, cleanse yourself from the filth of your Avodah Zarah. You now understand why did Rashi say that? Didn't Rashi say, well, the Targum says, v'sachlili, then indeed you're dealing with preparing for becoming part of Klal Yisrael. Okay, now, Now, also here he says, okay, I don't really know the sources, but he says this is a makar, obviously, that she maybe she went to mikvah. This is a makar, some want to say here is the moment in time where she was fully megayer, 100%, 100% by brachatz is the term that is also used in the Torah for tefillah b'mikvah. It's used all over in Chumash Vayikra. Brachatz b'sara v'toher. You have the same word here. You have no reason why you can't say she went to mikvah to prepare. She became a full-fledged, and the mitzvah, the next word is next words is the vosacht. Vosacht is shmitzos, kabbalah san mitzvos, and big day Shabbos. It's a yomtiv for you. When a person becomes a Jew, it's a yomtiv. I don't know what they tell the game. They tell the game to put on big day Shabbos. They make a suda. I don't know what they do by they make a suda. But it's a yomtiv when a person becomes part of Klal Yisrael. By Matan Torah, it says v'chiblu was a pasuk of Rabbeinu and by Yisrael for Kabbalah Satorah. V'chiblu simlosa.
And
clean your put on new clothing. It's beferish before leading up to Matan Torah. Shavuos Kabbalah Satorah. We all became gerim. Ki gerim atem. We Klal Yisrael is a nation of gerim. Kabbalah. And the gerim was Matan Torah. And what did Hashem tell Klal Yisrael? Change your clothing. Clean your clothing. Put on fresh clothing. It's a yomtiv for you. It's perfect. Go to mikvah. Kabbalah Samitzos. Put on new clothing. And this is yadus. Or you can say that putting on your clothing means midos. It's always used in reference to midos. Clothing represents a person's midos. Being part of Klal Yisrael is a very powerful lesson. Musa said it's not just observing the mitzvos. You can be a novel bereshus haTorah. Being part of Klal Yisrael demands derech eretz kodmo la Torah. You have to be in the right midos. The midos toivos, the unwritten shulchan aruch, things that are not halacha, just the proper and hagah to weigh and to behave, and that's what he told her. You now became part of Klal Yisrael, you're going to mikvah, you're going to do the mitzvos, but the mitzvos are not enough, change your clothing. The sam sim lo sayich olayich, you have to now accept upon yourself midos toivos.
Some of the Babich organizations make the weddings for the Russians use that as a mechanism to give them bristle. You say, you're going to give me a nice wedding, you know, you never had a wedding, but you have to have a bris beforehand.
That's the deal.
If you don't have a bris, we don't do this. So what they do is they're like, you're going to the mikvah.
Going to the spa. Come to the spa. You have a good experience. And there's also a mikvah.
Nicely,
and you have a mikvah also. You'll see the mikvah is not so bad. It's not so bad, the mikvah. Okay, Echonami. Okay, now there's another, now let me just, before we conclude, there is something here that's, okay, this is a Hasidah Shemaisa. This is not something that you take, 100%, but something to think about. He brings that story with the Belzer Rebbe. I do not know which Belzer Rebbe is referring to, and I don't know he has all the city, the town. He has a documented story. It's a bizarre story, which we don't relate to, but it's interesting, that's why I'm telling it. The Baisa was, there was a draft. Not like the Israeli draft. We're talking about when they drafted you, the Russian draft, whatever it was, they drafted you, that was for life. You're finished. You're going to be there, who knows, you'll never come back, you're not going to be Shabbat HaMitzvos. It was serious business. Okay, serious business, and everyone was pikuach nefesh to be drafted. And they were coming. And this young man, this very holy person, was knew that he was on the list. So he went to the Belzer Rebbe and he said to him, they're coming for me, what should I do? So he says, go hide. Get out of town. Go hide. Go hide. So the person went, he put on his big day Shabbos, and he sat down at his dining room table. And he sat down, and he opened up his sefer. Come in the officers, whoever the Russians were, and whoever were coming, and they looked, they went into the house, and they went from bedroom to bedroom, they looked under the floor here and there, and the guy is sitting there in his big day Shabbos at the table. And they just ignored him. And soldiers, they looked around, they couldn't find, and they left. People came in and said, "Oh no, what happened? Did they find you? They were looking for you." So he said, "Nothing happened. I sat at the dining room table, and they just came. They totally ignored me. They weren't looking all around. I was wearing my big day." So he went to the bells. So the bells called. What happened? So he said, "He told me to hide. I did like what it says in Rus." The way you hide, if it's bizarre, don't think about telling you literally. Don't try this at home. It's not going to work. But it's interesting. He says, look what he told her in this pasuk. V'yirada garen, he told her, v'sam tzim lo sayach alayich. You know how you hide? The way you hide is by wearing Big Day Shabbos. When you wear Big Day Shabbos, yilmaila min hamokim. Shabbos Kodesh is not part of this world. Hashem only made the world 6 days. Shabbos is a whole different world. Like just like in the Beis Hamidrash, the Oroin is Einam min Hamida. Shabbos, you're in a whole different world. When you wear your Big Day Shabbos, you're invisible. It sounds like a science fiction movie. When you wear your Big Day Shabbos, you're invisible. It says in the pasuk. The samt simlo saich olaich, wear your Big Day Shabbos, the eradit ha-goyen, and by doing so, l'meila, al tivadi lo'ish. You will not be seen. No one's going to notice you. Ad kaloisa lechol v'lishles, until he finishes eating and drinking. Because Big Day Shabbos makes you invisible. Now what that means exactly, obviously, it doesn't work with people who don't understand what Shabbos is all about. But on a very high spiritual level, when you connect yourself to Shabbos, you're taking yourself out of the mundane materialistic chomer matter of this world. And Rus was on that madrig, and Hasidus is the type of word, but there is something to it. Okay. I think with that we will stop. Okay, tomorrow there's going to be a shiur. Everyone would like to come. If you're from tomorrow, I plan to be here. So we'll have a shiur tomorrow.